Welcome to the second series of She Talks Tech from We Are Tech Women. My name is Vanessa Vallely, CEO and founder of We Are The City. In series two, we'll be bringing you more of the same. Great tech topics, emerging tech, what's going on post-COVID, from some of the industry's most fantastic speakers.
And the most significant of those, and probably the first of its kind, is to say that we'll become carbon neutral as a company by 2030.
Today we hear from Dr. Anand Nanasimhan. Anand is General Manager for Cloud Supply Chain Sustainability at Microsoft. Previously, Anand was the Managing Director, Asset Recovery at Sims Recycling Solutions, the world's leading electric and electronic asset disposition and recycling company. During this session, Anand will focus on the urgency of businesses becoming sustainable and the leading steps that Microsoft is taking to become carbon negative by 2030. And then we'll discuss the importance of how diverse talent is essential for enabling the creation of strong foundations to ensure that we can embed sustainability into everything we do.
Hi, my name is Anand Nanasimhan, and I work at Microsoft managing cloud supply chain sustainability, which is essentially sustainability for our entire cloud supply chain. I'd like to talk to you about an important set of challenges, specifically around environmental change and how we respond to those changes and what sort of opportunities that creates for specializations, for jobs, for a chance to make an impact. As context, I think that the specifics around climate change are not new to anyone. The IPCC produced a report some time ago which talked about a 1.5 degree scenario by 2050. As a way to trigger a response to effect some positive change. The World Economic Forum has spoken about all of the top risks that we face, and the top five of those are related to ecological issues. The EU, in its turn, has estimated that it would take about $1 trillion to achieve climate neutrality or carbon neutrality by 2050. So the challenge is quite enormous. And in response to these drivers, what Microsoft has done is announce a far-reaching set of goals. We did that in January. And the most significant of those, and probably the first of its kind, is to say that we'll become carbon neutral as a company by 2030. And then we'll proceed from that point onwards until 2050 to take away the impact of all our carbon emissions since our founding. And along with that, also investing a substantial amount of money to create an innovation fund to address some of these challenges. In addition to all this, we also have internal carbon tax, which is a mechanism that allows all of our business units to contribute in proportion to their carbon emissions. And all that money is used to fuel innovations and to pay for interventions in the form of carbon offsets or carbon capture technologies and other innovations that we can spark. We also have investments in areas like AI for Earth. So, for example, if you look at large data sets or protecting or conserving nature around endangered species and so on, a lot of those data sets are powered by programs like AI for Earth. Now, as we look at our own trajectory, we've been at this for about a decade or so. In 2012, we were able to announce that we're carbon neutral across our scope 1 and 2 emissions. We introduced a novel carbon tax, and that's a model, as I described earlier, it's been adopted by other companies as well over the years as a way to encourage and incubate innovations around sustainability. A lot of investments since then leading up to what we just recently announced. And our goal from here on is to really focus on key areas that we believe are essential for us to bring interventions to bear. So how do we actually look at going about this? There are many ways you could look at this. In our world, we think of 4 broad areas around carbon or the emissions footprint across our entire infrastructure, across our resources, people, and every aspect of business that we touch. We look at water as a very significant contributor. For us, it's around finding ways to minimize use of water or to reuse in clever ways or to provide insights to our customers around water conservation, water usage, etc. Around ecosystems, a lot of investments around how we encourage, whether it's through policy or whether it's direct interventions on behalf of our communities, to impact ecosystems positively. We do spend a lot of attention on waste, not only the waste in our facilities and our infrastructure, but also electronic waste, which is a very key part of my focus. And across these four areas, there are things we bring to bear in terms of our overall operations, whether it's our supply chains or whether it's our production facilities, our partners, suppliers, et cetera, anyone who's involved in the operational footprint across Microsoft. Because we are also a platform and a product company, all of products and services also could bring environmental and sustainability insights to bear. Third, looking at our customers and our partners as being collaborators in our journey. So we need to provide all the right insights with the right level of trust and transparency to enable these changes to happen. So it's not only us embarking on this journey, we cannot do it alone. We have a lot of very complex supply chains, thousands of partners, and of course, a very large and growing set of customers as well. In order to make all this happen, we also have to make investments in policy and regulations, in whether it's local policies or governmental policies, various groups that are already involved in looking at how to standardize approaches. And we see ourselves as contributing and enabling a lot of these policies in a positive way. What I'd like to do is go a little bit deeper into a space that I focus on, because my responsibilities are on sustainability for the cloud. The cloud is an enabler for a lot of these changes. Just the fact of someone moving a workload from on-premises to cloud could reduce the environmental footprint by over 90%, in some cases over 95%. So that by itself creates an incentive for us to focus on all the ways in which we can make the cloud and its footprint more green, more sustainable. What does this all mean? Very simplistically, I like to think about this as three areas of interventions. So circular design is our approach to looking at the way in which we design our various products, whether it's products that we make or others make on our behalf or that we buy off the shelf. There are things we can do in terms of the materials we use, the circularity of those materials. As an example, just with something as simple as steel, if you were to reduce the quantity of steel by 10% in one of our products, you reduce the emissions footprint by over 15%. There are numerous examples of material types that we've been using traditionally for electronic products that could be reimagined. In order to do this, a lot of work needs to go into material science, understanding the emissions footprint, understanding the entire supply chain from the folks who mine and make the materials that go into manufacturing processes, all the way through how do you deal with design in such a way that at the end of life of the product, you can think about whether the product was made for repair, for dismantling, for reuse, for life extension possibilities. And of course, at its final end of life, how do you design something in a way that it can be recycled more efficiently with the underlying materials returned for remanufacturing and therefore into circular loop? So a lot of focus, a lot of our attention goes into this space, and the corresponding environmental or the carbon emissions footprint reduction potential is quite tremendous. The second aspect is around the supply chain itself, around our suppliers. We have thousands of suppliers, as any large industry supply chain would have. And here, this is a mixed bag. Our suppliers are at various levels of maturity and motivation. And it's really for us to figure out how to create the right set of metrics to understand where our suppliers are on their journey, how to engage with them, what interventions to bring to bear to try to advance their own sustainability efforts, of course, in support of our efforts too. But we'd like to create a platform that enables them to do better for themselves and for other customers that they might provide services to. Logistics is a big part, and the IPCC estimates that logistics worldwide could correspond to over 20% of all of the carbon emissions. And in our world, that's certainly the case. So in terms of determining how things are transported, distributed, stored, et cetera, is a very significant problem, especially because the scale of what we do is quite tremendous and it's growing over the years. The third part of our interventions is around circular cloud. This is trying to understand what we do with assets as they approach what is traditionally end of life. And that takes several forms. It could be reuse in terms of our adapting new workloads to older assets. So for example, a server that might be 5 or 6 years old may no longer be useful for a high computational footprint, but it might be perfectly good for something else, like search, for instance. Understanding that, adapting our compute fabrics to move workloads as necessary, or even something as traditional as taking out a server, repurposing it in a different location or in a different geography or in a different group for use for another set of years. essentially it could go for a full another 5 or 6 years as well. Other options are to remanufacture, to turn a server, in my example, into something else. You could take out components and reuse them in brand new products that have full lives ahead of them. Other options, which are quite interesting to us, are around return and buyback. So the suppliers who make these devices on our behalf could take them back at end of life, repurpose them, find new homes for them, remarket them, etc. And finally, of course, when there isn't a choice and things need to be recycled, a lot of investments are going into determining more optimal ways of recycling and finding ways to return materials back into a circular loop so that our manufacturers have a recycled source of raw materials for the manufacturing process. And so this continues. This process and all of the work that needs to go into it is only possible with all of the people that we have and the people that we're recruiting and training and investing in. And this includes people who have expertise across climate science, material science, folks who work on policy, on financial accounting methods specific to sustainability, economists, of course, a lot of focus on data scientists, because not only are we building information models for our space, but our customers and our partners who work across multiple industries have information models that are very specific to their markets. So real estate, infrastructure, chemical, pharmaceutical, etc. Every one of these has very specific information models that need to be translated to their carbon emissions footprint. We need to understand the circularity, and we need to build underlying structures so that others who build solutions, who build applications, who build insights for their own supply chains, for their own customers and partners, should be able to derive a standardized set of insights and to derive the right benefits. We're also investing in folks who can work on policy development, whether that's at the local level or the government level. Surrounding all of this is a set of very important parameters that have existed before our focus on sustainability. And that's around ensuring security, managing risks to ensure that it's at a minimal level, in spite of all of the sometimes conflicting constraints of, you know, value, risk, compliance, and sustainability. As we do all this, we have resources to focus a lot on our customers, on our partners, and on our suppliers, to develop them, to provide resources, to create the right incentives and the unique business models that we need to bring to bear to make all of this possible. And with that, I'd like to conclude and leave you with a thought that this is a space that is interdisciplinary. And I think there are a lot of opportunities for folks who are entering the workspace to look at sustainability as a unique set of opportunities, something that is of vital importance to all of us, to our planet, to our future, and something that can only be addressed with the combined insights of people who have specialties in all of these various areas. Thank you.
Anand, thank you so much for joining us as a guest on She Talks Tech. If you want to find out more about Anand and his incredible work at Microsoft, you can find him on LinkedIn. Thank you to all of you for joining us today and for listening, and we look forward to seeing you again next Wednesday when we release a new episode of She Talks Tech.